Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good morning, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me for our daily morning broadcast. Let's start with a prayer from my book, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day, and I hope you have your copy. If not, prolifereflectionsforeveryday.com is where you can get one. Today, for January 30th, from Luke 23:47, we read, On seeing what had taken place, the centurion praised God and said, "Surely this was an innocent man." Reflection. When Jesus died on the cross, the centurion repented for his part. Many who used to perform abortions have now also repented. And they say, "Surely these were innocent lives, and we are sorry." They have formed a group called the Society of Centurions. They seek God's healing and invite other abortionists to stop the killing. Let us pray. Lord, I pray today for the centurions. Help them to find your healing and your peace. Amen. Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day.com. Well, friends, that is part of my work, dealing with and helping ex-abortionists and clinic workers to find healing. Dr. Philip Ney, a Canadian psychiatrist, has formed this program, this medically based program for the healing of these people. And I've been trained in many aspects of it and have conducted healing sessions with centurions across the country and around the world. One of the people who came to one of those sessions was Abby Johnson. Many of you know about her. I was recently with her out in, both in Washington and also out in San Francisco at the Walk for Life. And we did a screening of her movie, Unplanned. And, Abby came to the gathering of the centurions, and this is a step-by-step process, a very involved process of healing the wounds, ripping aside the justifications, the rationalizations, the lies that these abortionists and clinic workers tell themselves in order to justify their continuing in the work of killing babies. And we help them to get back to healing and to normalcy. As this movie Unplanned comes out, which it will in the end of March, more and more people who are working inside the abortion industry will realize that they too can come out. Maybe their consciences will be pricked. And we need to be ready to receive them, to give them the help that they need. And I want you to know that the Society of Centurions is one of the resources. In fact, it's the original resource that they can use to find that healing. So societyofcenturions.com is the website for that. So that's the reflection for today. Before I get into my topic of speaking about politics and answering the questions of many who have been talking about excommunication, I want to give you my I want to give you once again, brothers and sisters, my daily diary segment. Back in a week ago, on Sunday the 21st of January, Sunday the 20th actually, I flew with Janet Morana to Atlanta, Georgia, and we got together with Alveda King and her mom that day, visiting at their home, taking Alveda out for her birthday dinner. Her birthday was the 22nd. On Monday the 21st, which was the Martin Luther King holiday, we had the celebration, the annual observance of the Martin Luther King holiday, right there at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where he himself ministered and where each year the National Commemorative Service is held. I was there with Alveda and various members of her family, as well as veterans of the Civil Rights Movement and supporters of the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. We were there, then we flew back here to our headquarters in Florida. We worked here in the office on broadcasting, on writing, on meeting with staff, on advancing various projects. On Tuesday the 22nd, Wednesday the 23rd, and Thursday the 24th, all office days from morning to night. And then on Friday the 25th, flew out to California, took part with Reverend Walter Hoy in a rally and march through the streets of Oakland, California. Went there directly from the airport, did that activism, and then went over to the Archdiocese of San Francisco for the screening of the Unplanned movie. And then from there, had a dinner meeting with some of our pro-life leaders in San Francisco and some of our friends. The next day was the Walk for Life West Coast. I began by leading a prayerful vigil and protest at the local Planned Parenthood in San Francisco. From there, I went over to the cathedral and greeted people as they were arriving for the Mass for Life. Some of you I saw there right on the steps of the cathedral. And then after that, went over to the Civic Plaza and had the Silent No More gathering. We also had our table of materials for Priests for Life and our youth outreach Stand True. Brian Kemper was there. And we did the Silent No More gathering. I spoke to the crowd. We had testimonies from three moms who had had abortions. And then we had the main rally for the Walk for Life. And then we walked. I walked with Archbishop Cordiglione and various other clergy and pro-life leaders, together with about 50,000 other people through the streets of San Francisco. I broadcast the whole thing. You can watch it here on my Facebook page. It was a marvelous day on Saturday. The weather was perfect, and I met so many of you as we stood up for the unborn. After that, we had a dinner with the local organizers of the walk and with pro-life leaders from across the country who were there to take part in that. Then the very next day, I flew back here to Florida. I have a cousin that lives just about an hour away from our headquarters here, so I had dinner with her up after landing that evening from California, and then was here in the office the last 2 days, again, meeting with staff, broadcasting, working morning, noon, and night. You've been watching my daily broadcasts. You know that we do them approximately at 9 in the morning and at 9 at night. So that brings us to today, another office day today. That's my daily diary segment for this day, the 30th of January. Brothers and sisters, I want to simply share with you today a quote that I am fond of repeating from the Second Vatican Council. Now, the Second Vatican Council was, of course, a major moment in modern church history. The council issued 16 documents, and one of them is called Gaudium et Spes. The documents are named in Latin after the first words of each of those documents, and Gaudium et Spes means joy and hope. And this is the pastoral constitution on the church in the modern world. That's the English title of it. Gaudium et Spes says that the hopes and joys of the human family are the hopes and joys of the church. That's the theme with which the document starts out. And it talks about the church in modern life and how the church intersects with family and business and politics. And that's the quote that I want to share with you today, because sometimes people are wondering what the church's role, if any, should be in commenting on politics. They're always asking me, what do I and why talk about politics? Well, the answer is found in this particular quote of the Second Vatican Council. Let's read it together. At all times and in all places, the church should have the true freedom to teach the faith, to proclaim its teaching about society, to carry out its task among men without hindrance, and to pass moral judgment even in matters relating to politics, whenever the fundamental rights of man or the salvation of souls requires it. That's from the Pastoral Constitution on the Church in the Modern World, Gaudium et Spes, number 76. Brothers and sisters, let's look carefully at that quote. First of all times and in all places. So that includes every country. The church should be free to proclaim her teaching in the United States of America at all times. In other words, even if it's an election year, even if it's an election season, the church should be free to do what? To proclaim its teaching about society. The church has teachings about heaven, about hell, The church also has teachings about earth. The church has teachings about society. The church has teachings about how we organize ourselves in society. And therefore, the church has teachings about politics. You know why? Because the church has teachings about morality. Every human action either leads us closer to God or further away, either helps us grow in virtue or grow in vice. It's either leading us to heaven or leading us to hell. Every action. And therefore, every action in the family and in business and in recreation and in politics. Politics involves human actions, and therefore it involves morality, and therefore it's a subject of church teaching. To proclaim its teaching about society, to carry out its task, furthermore, without hindrance. Now, where would hindrance come from? Well, it can come from two places. It can come from within the church, or it can come from outside the church. Outside the church, well, we think about the Johnson Amendment. We think about the silly restrictions that very often are more in our imagination than in reality, that somehow we're going to lose our tax exemption if we speak about politics. Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. We wouldn't be able to lose it if we tried. Because some pastors have tried, and guess what? It hasn't happened. Nonsense. We're not going to lose any tax exemption for speaking the church's teaching about society. We should do it without hindrance from government mandates or from people in government trying to muzzle us. But I think the bigger problem is the hindrance that we put on ourselves. We muzzle ourselves. We don't need some king or despot to come along and put a muzzle on our mouth if we put one on ourselves. Same difference, right? Without hindrance. Stop telling ourselves all these fears and these horror stories about what's going to happen if we talk about politics. Without hindrance. Why? Because proclaiming the teachings of the church isn't some bright idea that we came up with. So often we're thinking about this as if it's our idea. I'll give a message and people think, oh, it's Father Frank's idea, Father Frank's project, Father Frank's... No, it's not Father Frank's anything. Go therefore and teach all nations. Make them my disciples. Teach them to carry out everything I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always until the end of the earth. Who said that? Go ye therefore into all the nations and proclaim the good news. Who told us that? We're under a command. This is not our idea or our message. We are under a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim his gospel. And what did he say? This is at the end of Matthew's gospel. Teach them to carry out everything I have commanded you. Everything. Well, part of what God has commanded us, as Scripture says from beginning to end, is that he hates the shedding of innocent blood. There is no agreement between abortion and the gospel of Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. There's no way to be a faithful Christian and to support abortion. There is no way. In fact, there's no way to be a decent human being and support abortion. We'll get back to that in just a moment. But back to this quote from Gaudium et Spes. In fact, let's go back to the beginning of the quote and let me read it again from the beginning. At all times and in all places, the church should have the true freedom to teach the faith, to proclaim its teaching about society, to carry out its task among men without hindrance, and to pass moral judgment, even in matters relating to politics, whenever the fundamental rights of man or the salvation of souls requires it. Let's unpack this just a little bit more, friends. Again, this is the Second Vatican Council, Gaudium et Spes, the Pastoral Constitution on the Church in the Modern World, and number 76. Notice what it says, pass moral judgment We don't have to be passing policy judgment unless the policy is the same as the principle, which is the case, by the way, in regard to the right to life. But moral judgment, in other words, we don't have to get down into the weeds where the church is proposing a legislative policy on immigration, for example. We don't. It's the job of the legislators to come up with the legislative policy. The church's role here, as it says, is to pass moral judgment. What are the moral principles according to which our laws must be made? What are the moral principles according to which our court decisions must be issued? What are the moral principles according to which political parties need to be organized? The moral principles. That gives guidance. Then there's a lot of technical, practical, detailed questions, matters often of prudential judgment, where, in other words, people who are adhering to the same morality can come to different conclusions about what the actual policy should be. That we leave to the legislators to do. But to pass moral judgment, even in matters relating to politics, of course, that's the business of the church. And this is where, again, we've got to provide a clear answer to everyone, including some who come on this Facebook page or my Twitter account or my Instagram account. By the way, I hope you're following me in all three places. Okay, this page, you're obviously on it now. Like it, follow it. My Instagram and my Twitter, FR Frank Pavone. Sign up, go there today, follow me today. You'll see a lot of interesting tweets and posts there each day. And some people there and some people here ask me, well, you know, why should a priest be talking about politics? The church shouldn't be involved in politics. Well, obviously the church thinks differently. Again, look at this quote. To pass moral judgment even in matters relating to politics. In other words, just because a particular issue is a matter of political debate and dispute doesn't mean the church is supposed to sit back and be quiet. That's not the church. The church speaks. Because God speaks. Why does the church speak? Because God speaks. Why is the church not to be silent? Because God has not been silent. He spoke. What did we just celebrate at Christmas? That God opened his mouth and spoke in Jesus Christ. In fact, he opened his mouth long ago through the prophets in partial and varied ways, as the letter of the Hebrews tells us. But now he has spoken to us through his Son. The Son, who is the perfect representation of the Father, the full manifestation of his truth and his glory and his grace. God breaks his silence in Jesus Christ and before him through the prophets. And that's why the church breaks her silence. The church must speak. Even in matters relating to politics. And then it goes on to say, whenever the fundamental rights of man require it, or the salvation of souls. What more profoundly contradicts the fundamental rights of man and the salvation of souls than abortion? My answer, nothing. Nothing contradicts our fundamental rights more than a direct attack on the right to life itself. There's nothing more fundamental. Right to life is the most fundamental right. All the other rights depend on it, right? Where, how can you have your right to education if you're not alive? How can you have a right to health care if you haven't been born? How can you have the right to cross the border of a country if you haven't even crossed the border of the womb? How do you have a right to be protected from terrorism if you can't even be protected from the knife of an abortionist that's going into the womb and tearing you apart limb from limb? Fundamental rights? What's more fundamental than the right to life itself? What's a more fundamental attack on the right to life than abortion? Nothing. The answer is nothing. And the salvation of souls. I'll tell you something about the salvation of souls. We had at the Walk for Life in San Francisco and also at the March for Life in Washington, the Silent No More Gathering, where the people who have had abortions speak out. They speak about the salvation of their souls. And they say, if someone hadn't talked to me about this, I'd be on my way to hell. They know it. They say it. And they say, thank you, pro-life movement. Thank you, church, for reaching out to me and lifting me up out of the darkness and despair of abortion. So the salvation of souls requires that we speak out, that we be, like Ezekiel said, a watchman for the house of Israel and warn people when they're going the wrong way. And this is why so many of you have been asking, what in the world are we going to do about these states like New York that are going in the opposite direction, actually, as to where the rest of the country is going. The rest of the country is moving away from abortion. States like New York and a number of other states are trying to put laws in place to actually expand abortion. And they're doing so because they're afraid, and rightly so, that eventually Roe v. Wade will collapse. And so, again, Governor Andrew Cuomo, claiming to be a Catholic, signs this law taking away even protection from babies in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy, and even from babies who are born alive if they survive the abortion. It's hard to find words to say how barbaric this is. And the church speaks up for the fundamental rights of man and for the salvation of souls, because both are at risk when a state, which, by the way, is under Democrat control, okay, a word to you, Democrat Party, and see, this is the church speaking out, even passing moral judgment, even in matters relating to politics. So if a political party like the Democratic Party aligns itself so fully with the abortion industry that it keeps pushing abortion, it's necessary to criticize the party. Some people say, oh, you can never criticize a political party. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, we can. Because they're violating the fundamental rights of man and the salvation of souls. We will speak. We must speak. We will continue speaking. Not because we're politicians, but because we are the body of Christ, the church. And I'm not just talking about the clergy. And that's my point here. When people talk about Governor Cuomo, and they talk about excommunication. First of all, we have every right to speak our mind about our concerns. Those of us who belong to the church in particular, we have every right to say what we think should be done, respectfully of those in authority to say, hey, why aren't we doing A, B, and C? I mean, any healthy family, you talk, right? You talk within the family. So let's express our mind about what needs to be done. But I want to address one aspect of this, my friends. And that is the feeling that we can't do anything about it, because we know we can't excommunicate. We got to plead with the church authorities. Can't you do something? If it's not technically excommunication, you guys are the experts in the canon law. If it's not technically excommunication, well, what about some kind of policy? What about something that you can do, because these politicians are affecting the general morals of society. They're pulling it down. Do something, say something. I think that's the heart of people that are expressing their views here, because they're saying, look, I'm making sacrifices each day to live my Catholic faith. Am I interpreting this right? I'm making sacrifices every day to live my Catholic faith. I'm giving this up. I'm giving that up. I know I can't do this. I know I can't do that. I am going to do the law of God. I'm going to follow the will of God. I'm trying to adhere to the teachings of the church. I'm doing this faithfully year after year, decade after decade, all my life. I'm trying to be a faithful Catholic. And then these people come along in the public limelight and they say that they're Catholics and they throw the teachings right out the window. That's offensive to us. Isn't that what is being said here? Isn't that what you and so many of the faithful are feeling? It's an insult to us. We're trying to live the faith, and these people try to get away with pretending that they are doing so, and meanwhile, they're killing babies. That's why we have the right to speak. That's one thing. But then the feeling like, okay, we can voice our views to church authorities, but then it's up to them to act. And my friends, if they don't act, they have to explain why. They have to explain why. So we're respectful of the proper role of everybody in the church. But let's therefore talk about our role. Because even though it's only a bishop who can excommunicate or impose a church penalty, okay, we pray for them, we support our our shepherds. We respect the way the church is structured, and we pray that they do the right thing. But what can we do? We can speak up, and that's what I'm begging you to do, friends. Don't just be frustrated, oh, why isn't so-and-so doing this, and why isn't such-and-such doing that? Let's do what we are able to do, which is to speak up loud and clear, and to say that people like Governor Cuomo are not only contradicting the faith, and by the way, let me back up for a second. Whether they're contradicting the faith is not some kind of mystery. The beautiful thing about the Catholic faith is, and the Christian gospel in general, is that it's open to us all. The bishops, the Pope, or some other clergy, they don't have more of the Bible than we do. They don't have more of the catechism than we do. It's wide open to all of us, so we know very clearly. We know very clearly what does and doesn't contradict the faith. So to say that Cuomo, by doing what he's doing, and anybody else, by the way, are pushing for these laws to expand abortion, to say that they're contradicting the faith? Of course we know that. It's wide open, clear as day. So there's no question about that. And therefore we can say it. And so that our fellow Catholics aren't confused or scandalized or led down the wrong road, don't just wait for somebody else to open their mouth. You open your mouth. And the church has even given you the words to use as a beautiful document, Living the Gospel of Life. Look it up on our website, Priests for Life. Living the Gospel of Life is a beautiful statement, and it was made by the bishops. And they said some very clear things in that document directly to these politicians, even that they're putting their souls in danger by allowing abortion. Cuomo should be getting thousands of copies of Living the Gospel of Life mailed to him from every part of the country. This has already been said. You're contradicting not only the Catholic faith, and this is what where I ask you to speak up. First of all, look up Living the Gospel of Life on our Priests for Life website. You'll see the whole text of the document. You can quote from it. You can take it. It's the words of the bishops. And talk about it to your fellow Catholics. Talk about it to people like Cuomo. But then here's the other thing about this. It's not just that he's contradicting his Catholic faith. That's one aspect of this, but only one aspect. What about contradicting the entire gospel of Christ? So all of you who are Christians of other denominations, this is offensive to you as well. He's contradicting, he's claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ, not just a Catholic. And so in what way does a follower of Jesus Christ stand for the killing of babies? Since when? It's an insult to the entire gospel of Jesus Christ. But then I'll go two steps further. Number one, what about the meaning of public service? Again, the church says we have to pass moral judgment even in matters relating to politics. Well, how about the moral judgment that a public servant is supposed to know the difference between serving the public and killing the public? That's a moral judgment about politics. And you know what? Cuomo has forgotten the difference. The whole Democratic Party has forgotten the difference. Again, this is not to implicate those of you who might be pro-life Democrats out there. There's many people across the country. What I'm saying is that the party is not representing the people anymore. Nobody across America, people across America have never bought into this idea of abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy, have never bought into that, including Democrats and the grassroots. So why is the party going in that direction? Why is Cuomo going in that direction? Why is the Democrat Party in Rhode Island going in that direction? Why is the Democrats in New Mexico going in that direction? Why? They're the ones that have to explain this. Meanwhile, we can pass moral judgment and say, look, a public servant has got to know the difference between serving the public and killing the public. Otherwise, they don't belong in public office. Now, we can say that. We can say that to our fellow citizens. Priests can say that from the pulpit. Why can we say that from the pulpit? Because it's a moral judgment. It's not a political judgment. Because if today the Democrats are the ones promoting abortion, and then tomorrow they become pro-life, and it's the Republicans that are promoting abortion, if they were to swap positions, what would change about our message? We would still be standing up and saying that a public servant has to know the difference between serving the public and killing the public. Otherwise, they don't belong in public office. That cuts across any political party. Come up with 100 different new political parties. It cuts across the whole field because it's a moral teaching. When are people going to stop complaining that Father Frank and priests are meddling in politics? You should stay out of politics. What on earth are you talking about? That we shut up when babies are being killed and fail to point out the ones responsible for killing them? Is that what you want us to do? Oh, friends, you know, I just, sometimes you just got to sit back and just laugh and say, well, where in the world are these people coming from? And meanwhile, it's not a laughing matter, because you and I take seriously our duty to say something. So let's keep saying it. Keep saying it, writing it, blogging it, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, conversations with your friends and family. And those of you who are preachers, do not be afraid to open your mouths and to get this message out there day by day. So friends, that's my encouragement to you today. And let's see where all of this goes. I have a little doggy that's asking to get up on my lap right now. You want to see him? Many of you have seen him already in other broadcasts. This is Gianni. And Gianni is here at our Priest for Life office today. And Gianni wants to come up and be on the program as we conclude here. I wish you a wonderful day. Let's pray for each other, and I'll give you the Lord's blessing. May he make you strong advocates for the truth, for God's law, and for the babies. And may he bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priest for Life. I'll be back to join you at 9 o'clock Eastern Time tonight. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.